So, after I got the thing back, it's time to go to Grandma's for the summer. And I had three cousins. I won't say their names, but their dad was a Pentecostal pastor. I think he was Pentecostal. And they were not rough and tumble like me. They were not rough and tumble at all. Two brothers and a sister. And I just remember Daddy calling them. He called them weaklings. But anyway, we got out there in Grandma's yard, and I had my Red Ryder, and I was shooting clothespins. She'd go out there and hang her clothes up on the clothesline, and, you know, I'd shoot the clothespins. Well, it wouldn't hurt them. It just spin them round and round. Well, my cousins came out there to play with me, and Grandma had some sheets up on the sheets of clothes up on the clothesline, and my cousin, the girl, she was bratty. I mean, just absolutely just bratty, and we didn't get along at all. So I'm out there minding my own business, shooting the clothespins, and Grandma'd come out there and fuss every now and then. Don't shoot my clothes. Don't put my hole in my clothes. You know, blah, blah, this, that, and the other. So the two boys and the girl came out. We started hiding in the leaves. We had big piles of leaves, and we'd hide in those and do this, do that, so on and so forth. Well, we got playing hide and seek or tag, some kind of game in the backyard, and the girl, my cousin, she picked up some kind of stick, picked up something, and hit me with it. And I got so mad, I got just angry. And you kind of figure what happened next. Picked that Red Ryder BB gun up and cocked that thing. And she was running from me, running back to her house. And I cocked it and shot, and nothing happened. And cocked it and shot, and nothing happened. And I shook the BB gun, and there was no BBs in it. You know, the tube runs empty. Let me let this thing cycle. So she's running toward the house, and I was trying to get BBs in the tube and could not get them in there fast enough because of the little cardboard tube thing I had. So I opened the gate on the end of the barrel and put the cardboard tube in my mouth and filled my mouth full of BBs and spit them into the tube. And boy, you could load that thing in a hurry. It's just, I mean, you could just spit them in there like, you know, like a machine gun. So I put a mouthful of BBs in there and took off after her. And she's running around the corner of the house, and my aunt and uncle was on the porch, on the back porch. They were grilling out. And I didn't see them on the porch. I done got in that kill zone, you know. I mean, I hate to word it like that, but that's exactly what's fixing to happen. So she runs around the corner of the house, and I'm, I don't know, 15, 20 yards behind her, I guess. And she was right in front of her mom and daddy on that back porch out there cooking hamburgers, and bam, I tore her up with that BB, shot her in the back, I mean, twice. And oh my word, oh, it was horrible, I mean horrible. He come off that porch. He took that BB gun out of my hand, which he should have. Now, I'm not, you know, this, that, and the other. And he was hollering, have mercy. She was screaming and crying. You know, I mean, it didn't hurt her. It didn't break the skin or anything, but it left a good couple of welts, you know. She had on a little bathing suit, and just, you know, I blistered that backside. Well, then aunt come off the porch, and she got the girl, took her in the house. She is screaming and squalling bloody murder. And my uncle takes the BB gun from me and grabs me by the arm, the elbow, and in the house we go. Well, Grandma heard all the commotion, and she comes running down there to see what's going on. And my aunt, which had been her daughter, met her at the side of the house and said, Chad just shot. We'll call her Melissa. Chad just shot Melissa with the BB gun. And she says, Grandma says, where is he? Well, my uncle had me in the house. And she says, oh, no. So she comes in the house. And my uncle got the Bible out. He got the Bible out, laid the Bible on the coffee table, and was throwing scripture at me sitting on the couch while he's holding that BB gun. And started casting out demons in me. And boy, Grandma, I remember. Grandma got me, took me back up to the house and called Daddy and said, you, Johnny, this is what's happened. Chad shot Lori with the BB gun, and my uncle had me down there casting demons out of me. And Daddy just wasn't into that. You know, Daddy wasn't having it at all. So, 50-minute drive up to Pickens to get me. I wasn't there 4 hours. 50-minute drive to come up there and get me and take me back to the house. And, man, he took my BB gun again. This time he kept it. I don't know how long he kept. I can't remember. It was a long time before I got my BB gun back. But, you know, I can laugh about it now. But I sure did. I got every demon in the world casted out of me. And I don't know how old I was. I wasn't old enough to have no demons in me. But he got me. KO4NUE.
You guys are dangerous. You guys and my brother are dangerous.
I love it, Chad. You may be a long-lost brother of mine. That's hilarious. Yeah, there's no demons at you. You were just being a child. And that go. My dad would have said, so my dad was cool. My dad was like, okay, just tell me what happened. And if I said, well, she hit me with a stick, and then I chased her with the BB gun, my dad'd be like, okay, just don't shoot anybody again. You know, he didn't say anything to me, really. Well, he fussed a little. Not too awful bad, because in his mind, you know, casting demons out of me at 7, 8, 10 years old was far worse than, you know, what the actual, you know, shooting her with BB gun was. But it was a long drive back to the house, and he made me sit in his bench seat, Chevrolet, Chevy 150, long bed. It had that old pleather, you know, vinyl seat, you know, bench seat, and made me sit all the way over in the passenger seat, because I always sit close to Daddy when he drives and watch him do the three on the tree. I was fascinated with the, you know, shifting three on the tree. But he wouldn't let me sit beside him. Made me sit over on the passenger seat and had my Red Ryder BB gun stuck in between me and him. You know, the barrel was down on the transmission housing. And I just remember sitting there looking. We got past Pickens somewhere. We turned off Highway 8 on Highway 11. And I'm sitting over in the passenger seat. And I'm looking at my BB gun. And I'm wanting to touch it so bad I can't stand it, because I just had got it back. And I was, you know, thinking about, in my mind, I was still mad and was scared, because, you know, I didn't know what this whole, you know, is. I didn't know I had demons in me. And it took me a little while. It took me from Grandma's house to Highway 11, all the way down Highway 8, turn right on Highway 11, to finally I came to the conclusion, well, you know, if I got demons in me, then you know, we'll deal with that later. Right now, I'm gonna turn my head over and look at my BB gun. So I just remember thinking, I don't know what I'm gonna do about these demons, but I'll deal with that later. And I turned, just as soon as he turned on Highway 11, I turned my head over and looked at the BB gun, and just as soon as I turned my head and looked at it, Daddy turned his head back over to me and he says, "Don't do it, son. Don't even do it." And he just turned his head straight back on Highway 11, and I just turned my head and looked out the passenger windows, and then looked out the passenger window, and then said, "Well, you know, I guess I'm gonna have to deal with these demons, because I ain't gonna get my BB gun back." So we went all the way down Highway 11. And I think I remember at one point thinking, I wonder if I could shoot the demons with my BB gun. Oh my gosh. Oh man, y'all just stirring up all kind of stuff tonight. Go ahead, KL4NUE. Larry.
Yeah, it's about time we all sign KK4JBQ. Well, yes, it's been full of laughter, but I can't remember the last time I thought about my brother shooting me. I just can't remember when I thought about that last. So this has been, it's flushing stuff out of me. It really is. I mean, you know, and it's probably good to think about things like that, especially since, you know, I'm the last one in my family to survive. I had a sister and I had a brother, mom and dad, of course. And all those folks are gone. It's good to remember. And it's good to be thankful that you made it through childhood, I swear. Well, anyhow, it's been a pleasure talking with you guys tonight. KK4JBQ.
Larry, I enjoyed talking to you. I think this is the first real time I've actually been able to talk to you. Oh, this is KI4DTY.
Well, Larry, you giving us a final call?
What's the old record for us? 12:18. I think we've been past 1 o'clock. And I could use another belly laugh. You guys got it in you. I got to change the subject back to a previous subject. I was wondering what the saw teeth on the back of the blade on that Bushmaster was for. It looked like saw teeth, but maybe it's for something else.
That made to cut logs with. You know, you could attempt to cut our limbs with it. You could attempt to. And I'd like to add that you may not be able to see the full depth of the picture, but I'm pretty sure that at the top of that, where those saw blades are, that's a full 3/8 inch thickness. So, you know, imagine that in the hands of a 10 or 12 year old trying to cut something with it with 3/8 inch thickness. And the image I'm sitting here looking at on Google, it's this Buckmaster 184 vintage. sticker on it that says approved. And I'm sitting here going, approved for what? Rambo? Because it sure didn't do much for me. All summer, I worked for that thing. All summer. But Daddy tried to tell me, and I just, you know, KO4NUE. Go ahead and get it, Daniel.
DTY, I'm just impressed you still have the knife because I probably would have lost it by now, or it would have been taken away. So to go back, my mom probably 2 years ago gave me a box of all the stuff that she had taken away from me. And I was like, I was wondering what happened to this. It was just all the stuff that I had done and upset her or whatever, and she had taken the toy or whatever it was away from me. But I'm just impressed you still have the knife.
Hitting me, because it wasn't 3 weeks ago. Well, yeah, about three, four weeks ago, I went and visited with Mom and where she lives, and she brings out this box. She brings out this box of stuff. You know, I'm starting to clean out the house, and, you know, I found this, and, you know, I just, you know, hear it. You just take it home with you. And the majority of it was stuff that just like what you said. I'm just thinking, hey, I remember that, and I thought I lost it. But, you know, when I opened the box up and look at it, most of it was some kind of tool to kill something with. It was a slingshot in there that the rubber arms had, you know, rotted off of it. There were some big Aggies, which are those big round marbles, not the small ones, but the big marbles. Which I never played marbles growing up, but I assume that was ammunition for the slingshot. There was a little round tin of 22 caliber pellets, lead pellets, Spearman lead pellets. There were parts to a BB gun, not parts to a BB gun, but parts to a pump action pellet rifle, which, you know what, now that I think about it, that thing quit working. When I got older, Dad let me get a power line 22 caliber pellet rifle. It wasn't a Crossman. It was a power line. And, you know, you weren't supposed to pump it over 10 times. But, I mean, that thing would, I mean, it would do some damage. I mean, you know, it would actually kill a small animal. And it quit working. It just quit working. And I remember Dad asking Dad to fix it. And I just remember now him thinking, I remember him telling me, he didn't even look at it. I took it out to fix the thing because it quit working. And he wouldn't even take it from my hand. He just looked at me and says, I don't think I can fix it. And I just, you know, remember now realizing that evidently Mama had got on him. Because he got me the pellet rifle, and him or one had to have taken the O-rings out of the pump. But there was an O-ring in there, there's a piston in there, and I know that's what it went to. And I asked her about it, she says, I have no idea what that is. And I, you know, I'm sure she doesn't, but I'm convinced now that was a coup. That was a coup to take my pellet rifle because I just, oh man. Oh my goodness. Oh, the memories. There's a half a box of 22 shorts in there. Wildcat. Wildcat 22 shorts. And I'm afraid to tell you what the other one was. But, you know, stuff like that. But I just, oh, the memories, just full of stuff. But anyway, go ahead, somebody go ahead and take it. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, and KI4DTY.
Go ahead, Larry.
I kind of admire your mom for keeping that box and returning it to you. My mother, it wouldn't even occur to her to keep things and return them one day when I had grown up and would kill anybody with it.
I remember about my mom. So it's not like she's passed away, but I went and before I had gotten the box of stuff that she had taken away from me, I remember I was a kid, I was like, I don't know, I think I was like 11 or 12. And my mom, we were doing like a little yard sale in the front yard. And so she, you know, had gotten all the stuff ready the night before. And so she had everything set up that Saturday morning early and stuff. And so I was inside. I had chores, and, you know, I was the oldest, so I had lots of chores. But so I go out there and start helping my mom, you know, like finish, you know, setting up whatever. And I going through, you know, she's got the table set up. And I was like, hey, I remember this. And I was like, hey, I remember this. And my mom... My mom had set out all the stuff she had taken away from me. She had it in the yard sale. And I was like, Mom, you're selling my stuff. I don't even get an option to get my stuff back. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I says, Mom, this is my stuff that you're selling in the yard sale. I could not believe it.
So let me add to this. In my favorite, I feel good about this now. So I just got a text from somebody listening in this conversation, and there's an ad, I don't know where he got it, but there is an ad on a website where the Buckmaster 184 is for sale, vintage survival bowing hunting knife with scabbard and gift set, or the accessory set, $850. So how about that? I mean, I don't feel so bad about working so hard for it now. And I also got a text from my cousin. He's listening in. I won't say his call sign, but he lives up there in Pickens, and he's listening to all this and remembers all of this stuff that happens when I would come and stay with Grandma. But one thing I remember before my uncle got me was I distinctly remember the sound that those BBs made when they got my cousin in the back. I mean, it was a little slap. I mean, he was just, I just never will forget that. But she went down. Oh, yeah, right there by the porch. I mean, it's not funny, but it kind of is, you know.
Yeah, it kind of is.
We'd lose you, Larry.
He wants to be associated with us anymore.
Okay, I understand. We'll move on to another topic, I guess. But at any rate, my mother is, she's been pulling things out of the closet and giving them to me. But mother used to collect dolls. She would collect them and sell them with her sister. And back then, you know, when I have the internet where you could go and buy things like that, you know, you collectible stuff like that you had to order. But I worked, did something for Mama for a couple weeks. I forget what it was. Jelly or doing chores in the house or something while she could get some canning done. And she bought me two dolls. They were F&B dolls. John Wayne, two John Wayne dolls. They're, I don't know, 20, 22 inches high. And I don't know what those things cost, but one of them is John Wayne dressed up in the True Grit clothing, and then the other one is John Wayne dressed up in Cahill, I think. And, I mean, the tape is still on the box, and it's got the cellophane clear cover on it so you can see inside the box what the dolls are. And I don't know what those things are worth now. I don't know what she paid for them. But, I mean, they're in wonderful condition. I said the lid's never been off of them. So I'll have to check that out. But it's amazing, Daniel, to see what, you know, my mother has been pulling out of the closet here lately. Just, you know, just brings back memories. KO4NUE.
KK4JVU, it isn't that I didn't want to associate with you guys. Of course not. I had, as another ham friend of mine would say, when we had conversations that lasted this long, he says, I got to go down the hall. So that's, I went down the hall. So, Chad, how long did you have to live with the nickname Fat Shooter?
It wasn't that. What ended up happening was I was not allowed on back in the house. I was not allowed in the house, and for some time, I was not allowed on the property. Because there had been, let me preface it with this. There had been issues previous to that. Cause I would go up and play with my cousins. And one of my cousins was the youngest. His name starts with an A. But, we were playing in the house. Well, let me say this. So, all of us, my aunts, Grandma had 13 children. One of them died at birth. But all of the girls, when they got old enough to have children, they enjoyed leaving their kids with their sisters, you know. So, in other words, my mom, I was the only child, my mom would take me and I would stay with this aunt and that aunt and, you know, and play with their kids. And then, but surprisingly, now that I realize it, thinking back, none of the sisters ever sent their kids up to my house to stay for the summer. I wonder why. Well, anyway, oh well, I'm over it. There had been some issues with just, I was just rough. And I was staying with, you know, my aunt and uncle with the cousin that I shot with the BB gun. And my cousin had a blanket that he carried everywhere he went. And it was one of those old cheap rayon blankets that had the fake silk on each end of it. He carried that thing everywhere he went, but he chewed on the corners of it. He kept that in his mouth all the time, chewing on it. And we got in a disagreement over something, some kind of toy or something. And I don't know what he said, but I got mad at him and grabbed the blanket out of his mouth, jerked it out of his mouth. And he was standing on it, and when I jerked it out of his mouth, I pulled his feet out from under him. And he fell backwards in the living room and hit his head on the brick hearth in front of the fireplace. And put a big old knot on his head. And I got in trouble for that. And, you know, just something all the time. My oldest cousin, he collected Star Wars stuff. You know, in the box, collecting. Didn't play with it now. He just had it in the boxes. And that was so foreign to me. How in the world could you have a Luke Skywalker or a Chewbacca? And heaven forbid, I can't believe the Millennium Falcon is up there in that big old box and nobody's playing with it. My goodness, what's wrong with him? So, I played with him. I took him out of the boxes and played with him and got caught. So, you know, there were issues up to that point, and that wasn't the first time that, you know, my aunt called my mother, which was her sister, and say, hey, you're going to have to come get him. You know, we just can't do anything with him. And then when I shot her with that BB gun, that was it. I mean, that was it. And, so to answer your question, Larry, I didn't get called any names, you know, back shooter or anything like that. It's just with silence. Don't even come on my property. Don't even do it. So that's a little bit worse than, you know, being called a name. Silence is, you know, I'm really mad. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, KI4DTY. Go ahead.
JBQ. Well, I suppose it could have been one of two things. Either you were banished, you know, that's an old word, probably a Bible word for banished. And like you said, your uncle there, he was a minister, and my goodness, my grandfather was a minister also, but he never tried to cast out any demons that I can remember. But anyway, it either worked or it didn't work, and they weren't going to take a chance, you know. You still had those demons, didn't you? They weren't going to let you off the property.
Yeah, it sounds like so. I don't think those demons had a chance.
You know, anybody listening out there, please don't take this the wrong way. But, you know, in a dead flat run, both of us now. Of course, I stopped to take the shot. But, I mean, she was in a dead run. Two of them. And you gotta take the sight picture off and cock it. So, you know, I know that sounds really bad, but, you know, hey, it is what it is.
Chad the sniper.
For showing your skills.
In all fairness, and like I said, now I know my cousin is listening. Now, you just imagine that sight picture now. You know, my aunt and uncle, they don't know anything about guns. And, you know, they are wonderful people. I mean, they are. We get along now that the now that the demons are out of me. We get along really good. But now you just imagine this side picture now. Okay? We, you know, and they were cooking hamburgers and hot dogs for us. And, you know, they're on the back porch enjoying their evening. You know, we're up in Grandma's yard playing, and then all of a sudden, around the corner, here comes your only daughter in a bathing suit and a flat-footed, barefooted run. And she's screaming bloody murder because she knows I'm behind her. And, you know, and I just remember, I don't remember seeing him. That was not on my mind at the time. I distinctly remember, even at that age, that everything just kind of grayed out, except for, you know, her backside. And so you just imagine this as a father now. You're standing there cooking hamburgers, and here comes your daughter running across the yard, and then, you know, the cousin standing there behind her with the BB gun, and smack, smack, and then she falls on the ground screaming bloody murder. Now, what would you think? Now, I'm agreeing with the guy. I see now the error of my ways. But, you know, at the time, that was the right thing to do at the time, I guess. But, demons are not, you know, goodness. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, KI4DTY. Somebody take it.
All right, so I had a girl cousin, so I guess I'm on your side, Chad. Not that I'm for violence, but I tell you what, if I had a BB gun, I probably would have shot her in the back, too. So she used, she was so annoying. Oh, my gosh, she would. I already got in enough trouble by myself. I didn't need somebody else's help. But dadgum, this girl, I won't say her name either, but she used to, tattle on me every 5 seconds. So, anything I did, even if I didn't do it, she would tattle on me, just try to get me in trouble. And I tell you why, it would just hurt me the wrong way, and I just was like, whatever.
KK4JBQ. You know, I kind of, in a way now, and you'll understand what, as I go along, you'll understand what, I kind of admire that you have these kind of remembrances, these memories of you and your cousins. I didn't see my cousins that often. I was just trying to reach back and think, is there any time I ever shot anybody in the back or... never was anything like that. I remember once, though, that it was the 4th of July, and, I was not a teenager yet, I guess, but I was 11 or 12, and one of my cousins was a tomboy. She tried to outdo the boys. She had older brothers, she had younger brothers, and she was just mean. And we were shooting off firecrackers, you know. And she smoked. She was my age. She was 11 or 12 years old. And she would light those things, the firecrackers, you know. She'd light them off her lit cigarette while it was in her mouth. I mean, she was like it was, you know, the thing to do, the brash thing for a young girl to do. And then she started throwing them at us. She was like, maybe of the same mindset that about her cousins. And she didn't have a gun, but she had little bitty dynamite sticks that she'd throw at us.
Not my family in Pickens. Grandma, for some reason, and I'm starting to figure all this out now, but Grandma never would let me allow me to have fireworks. I kind of know now why, but me and the kids that in Campobello played, we would have Roman candle fights. And back then, when you got a Roman candle, that thing would go. They're not like they are today. You could launch them. And I don't know how many times I got burned, or the guy that my age had lived up the road, his name was Mark. We stayed in some kind of mischief all the time, and all kind of trouble. Not trouble, just mischief. I never got in trouble, but me and him were back then. There wasn't any houses around here like they are now. It was all cotton. They had big ditches on the side of Mount Lebanon Road, and it was tar and gravel. It wasn't asphalt. Section of it was gravel, actually. But we got one of Mama's pocketbooks out of her closet and tied some string to it and went out there and hid in the ditch and put it out in the middle of Mount Lebanon Road. And hid in the ditch, and we'd get cars to stop, and then we jerked that pocketbook across the road on that string. And most people just get in the car and drive off. But this one guy, he was in a C10 Chevrolet or something. And he got back in the truck now. And we done jerked the pocketbook just about out of his hands when he knelt down to pick it up. And backed the truck up and rolled his front tire over his pocketbook so he couldn't get it loose. And saw me and Mark in the ditch and started walking over there to the ditch where we were. So we got up and ran. And, you know how in one of those murder movies when Freddy Krueger's chasing you and they always trip and fall? Well, when you're young like that, you're doing something wrong. You always run for home when you need to run the other way to keep from giving you position away. Well, we ran straight for home and was walking through the woods trying to get back to the house. And, here he comes down the road, down the driveway with Mama's pocketbook. And I think it was Agner. I believe that's what it was. I don't know if anybody knows anything about pocketbooks, but I just remember Mama saved. She saved a long time to get that pocketbook. And we had it out there throwing in the middle of Mount Lebanon Road. And it was pretty scratched up. So, got my tail blistered by Mama for messing her pocketbook up, and then got my tail blistered when Daddy got home. Because the guy in the truck was Ansel Sitton, and he was a retired sheriff. And goodness, man, I don't know how we got on childhood, but man, the stories. KO4NUE, KK4JBQ, KI4DTY. Somebody take it.
I suppose, yes, reaching back to memories that are 50 and more years old, that's reaching back a long way. But I have remembered the name of my cousin who lit firecrackers off of her cigarette at 12 years old. She had a very respectable country name. Her name was Mary May. She's gone now, and so are, I think, all but one of my cousins. And I had lots of cousins because my dad was a family, was from a family of 12 kids. I had lots of cousins. Mary May was one of the brattier ones. She grew up to be a fine woman. She had lots of sweet children the last time I saw them. Oh, my. So, goodness, I can't remember anything involving a purse and a string. How did you come up with such a plot? You're very inventive, Chad. I'll sure give you that. You have a, well, I wouldn't say a criminal mind, but inventive, that's it. Inventive. KK4JBQ.
KI4DTY. I'm with Larry, Chad. You seem to be very inventive when it comes to some of these things.
Maybe. I mean, you know, it wasn't a whole lot to do out here. You know, I mean, I was in the middle of 180 acres of cotton. You know, it's not a whole lot to do, you know, but hunting fish. And, you know, back then, that's what I did, was just, you know, hunting fish. But I couldn't, you know, Daddy wouldn't let me have a shotgun till I got, probably 12 years old. And, you know, I had free rein at that point, you know. He had old A5 Browning shotgun. And I'd go kill birds or a rabbit and squirrel or whatever. And, you know, we didn't have a lot growing up. And if I killed a couple of rabbits or squirrel, Mom made squirrel dumplings, or, you know, I didn't kill just to be killing, except for, you know, the guineas. Just different times. But there wasn't a whole lot to do, you know. And it got even worse in high school. I didn't get, I got expelled from high, not expelled, but what do you call it? Suspended. I got suspended from high school when I got my driver's license for 3 days. Put a boy in the hospital, and did, I don't know, about $15,000-$16,000 worth of damage to the parking lot down there. And just didn't think. I just did, you know. And then I had to deal with the consequences afterwards. But I'm thankful for those things when I was younger, because I learned lessons before I was old enough for the law to get me. I stayed in some kind of trouble all the time.
KK4JBQ. Make sure I got it. Yes, and that's why they call it corrections. And it's a good thing you had your course corrected. I think the guineas, that was one course correction. Then you had the demons thrown out. That was a course correction. So I was thinking, shotguns. I suppose, Daniel, you're also acquainted with firearms. I recall a gun that my dad prized so much because he had purchased it with one of his brothers back when they were my age. At the time, I guess I was about 14. And they went together because it was It was used, but, you know, it cost a lot more money than those two had, and they saved up and saved up, both of them, and they bought it together. And that brother was the first one to pass on of the whole bunch. So he'd already passed, and this was a treasure for him. And it became, because it was my dad's favorite, it was my favorite too. It was a sweet little 410, and it was a breech loader. You had to pull a tab on the right hand side of the receiver. You had to pull a tab which opened the breech, and then load your shell, push the breech closed, and then cock the hammer on this thing. That's how it was. No repeating it didn't repeat. You had to go through all of that to load one shell. But I remember him entrusting me to clean that gun, and it would foretell my desire to get inside of things, to take them apart and to examine, well, how does that work? What does that do? And all of this stuff. And I did. And I was very respectful. He had no reason to trust me with that gun, but he did. And I took it all apart. I polished every surface that was inside the gun. I polished it. If it ran over another surface, I examined all the surfaces and deburred it. I mean, it was a mass production thing, I suppose. But I deburred it and I polished every surface and I lubricated it coming back out, you know, lubricated all the pieces. And then I blew the gun. And then I cleaned up the stock. And there had been, he couldn't remember why there was a piece of a toothbrush handle up into the stock from the base up into the stock. So I got in mind that I would have a little piece of brass engraved with their two names, James and Doyle. And I would put that in there sort of like a presentation. BBQ. So it sort of made it a, you know, it gave it what I thought it deserved. And my dad cried in front of me the first time ever. He was not prone to doing that, you know. But I gave him that gun back, and it was all shined up and cleaned up, and there, that little plaque in it. So there it is. My favorite gun, a 410, KK4JBQ.
AI4DTY. Let me make sure I have this. A Henry, or like a, I think another model was like the Stevens.
Stevens, I think that may have been it. It was some people call it a roller lock, breech load.
Yeah, like I said before, I mean, I'm familiar with guns and have a good time with them now, but my dad wasn't a big gun person, which was kind of funny. He grew up on a farm. They grew up on a dairy farm, but also they grew tobacco and cotton and stuff. But I remember him having, he had a Colt 45, and I love that gun. And he would let me clean it for him. He taught me how to clean it and take care of it. I'd clean that gun for him every now and then and make sure it was nice and set up. And he even taught me how to pack blank loads. Like I said, he did a lot of Western-type shows, you know, when he was younger. And so he taught me a little bit about that. But it was always cool. I always enjoyed, even though I didn't get to shoot it, I always enjoyed just getting to clean it. But I do remember one year it was 4th of July, and we We lived on like 4 acres, but that 4 acres backed up onto reserve. And so, you know, there was a reservoir area where nobody could, you know, build. And so he let me shoot that .45 just into the woods, just into the ground. And I just remember it clear as day. It was the best day.